We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Well, always live on the free Odyssey app, indeed, and always a pleasure when we kick off the 11 o'clock hour on Tuesdays during the football season to talk to our guy, John, Mr. Mike Quick.
Brought to you by the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app, official app of the Real Philly Fan. Download now at betparks.com. You must be 21 and in PA or New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Look, we already knew Mike was the man. But how about Merrill and Mike featured yesterday on the Today Show? Mike, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Dude, that was really cool. You and Merrill and even Howard getting in there a little bit. The Today Show, nice job.
That was pretty cool. It's, very humbling, quite honestly.
I mean, that's some big, by the way, I think humbling is overused in society.
I was going to say, you're going to rip Mike for using that or what?
Mike, I don't know if you were trying to be funny, but you just stepped in something I just think humbled is over. I mean, you were exalted, so I don't know how you're humbled. They exalted you.
I thought I heard you say something about using it.
Mike, you're great. So, all right, Mike, let me ask you this, and then we'll do a deep dive on everything. But we were talking earlier today about how there's been a lot of criticism of aspects of this Eagles team, but they're 10-1. Why? Like, what have you noticed a lot of nitpicking? I know the special teams have been bad, other aspects at times have been, but what's going on? Why? Like, in 04, the Eagles weren't scrutinized, they weren't nitpicked this much. 2017, they weren't nitpicked this much. What's going on this year?
Well, I just think everybody wants to be ahead of whenever something does go wrong that I told you so. This is wrong. He's not good enough. He's doing this. Gannon's this. Special teams this. Everyone wants to be right and ahead of being right. But you know what I like? The fact that these guys have been able to win in so many different ways. You know, you take the game last week or Indianapolis when they could barely score points. They got nothing going on. And then they won with barely scoring any points, 17-16. And then they have a shootout at the link, basically a shootout. They scored 73 points, and they're able to win when there's lots of points being
scored.
So I love the fact that this team has shown the ability to win in a lot of different ways, even coming from behind against Indy in the fourth quarter. Like, that, to me, is just a mark of a good team. There's not going to be a perfect team where everything works well. So we're going to nitpick and we're going to find things that we can talk about, but that's just the way it is.
AJ Brown, we love him, but we don't love putting the ball on the ground. Is this something that we should be worried about? Is this something that comes in bunches? How does he correct it?
I think he's a – and always I've thought this, but never said it. Just watching him play, he's a little careless with the way he carries the football. And now people will start to notice that, and they'll punch at the ball a little bit more. But he's just – it's not a thing that's a hard fix. All you do is tuck it in there tight, you know, cover the points, and you don't have that problem. You have to expect that, that teams are going to try to punch the ball out.
Right.
John, they work on these drills every day.
Right.
They work on punching the ball out. They work on making sure that the ball doesn't get punched out. So it's just something that he has to just be cognizant of now. And going into games, whenever he's got the ball, he's got to know.
Mm-hmm. Quez Watkins with the big touchdown to end the half. How much has he improved as a wide receiver this year?
I just think he's been good all along. I think the more Quez gets opportunities, the more we're going to like what he does. Because to me, he has it all. And the fact that he has world-class speed and can get behind any defense, that's a plus. But all of the other things that you want a wide receiver to do in the game, Quez is well-equipped to do that as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, something that Coach Sirianni talked about after the game was the run blocking from A.J. Brown. How good a run blocker is he?
Really good. As good as any wide receiver playing. He's you know, he's a big, strong dude.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the score, but it was when going to the Eagles' right into that end zone. There was a run off the left side, and he got a tremendous block. But these receivers, they block. You know, even skinny Batman, he gets in the way. He's not going to push anybody around.
Mm-hmm.
But even skinny Batman, he gets in the way.
Yeah.
You know, they spend a lot of time. They know that for big runs to happen, they don't have to knock people over. But if they can shield that defender from the running back just enough for him to get by, that's all they really need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these guys, I think they take pride in it. Zach Pascal, another one. When he's in the game, he's not going to catch many balls, but he's going to stick his nose in there. He's going to be, you know, one of these guys that you can rely on in blocking.
Yeah, he's so tough. How much pass-catching development are you seeing from the young tight ends, Stoll, Calcaterra, and Tyree Jackson?
Well, because Dallas Goedert's not there, I'd like to see these guys get a few more targets. And I think that with that, you get a lot more production from them. I think Jack Stoll's a good tight end, a guy who was undrafted out of Nebraska and just has made and is making a name for himself. I think more targets, I think he shows you a whole lot more. I really want to see some of Tyree Jackson because I know you were at training camp, John, in the last couple of years. He's been really good.
Mm-hmm.
He just hasn't had enough opportunities to play in regular season games due to injuries.
Mike Quick with us here. Hey, Mike, last week when we talked to you, you were concerned, as John and I were, that defenses maybe were starting to figure a little something out there with the riding the side offense. Hurts, the running back. It obviously didn't happen on Sunday night. Did Green Bay not do what the Colts had done, or do you think the Eagles had some sort of counterpunch that made it work so effective?
Yeah, the counterpunch is Jalen Hurts. and you know, defenses can do everything correct, and a Jalen Hurts can break all of that down and make you look bad. So that the very first run, it was on a third down. They had their spy in the middle of the field,
mm-hmm.
but he makes the spy miss, and he runs for a big pickup and a first down. And the first two third down that they faced, it was Jalen running the ball, and they had the right defense there to make the stop, but it's Jalen Hurts. He's an equalizer.
Mike, another thing that helps is Jason Kelce can neutralize the spy, as he did, I think, on the second run. You know, he's so good at climbing to that second level. You know, he's a match for a spy linebacker. And he covers him up, and Jalen takes it where he needs to go.
That's exactly right. This offensive line, they were so good. I mean, there are a couple of times in the drop back pass protection that they gave up some. There are a couple of times in the passing game that they let too much pressure get to Jalen.
Right.
But this offensive line is so good. And in the run game, they just maul people. When they decide that they want to run the ball and they get to the sideline and they tell Stoutland and they tell Nick Sirianni, hey, man, we got this, and they listen to them, allow them to just beat guys up at the line of scrimmage. They can control the line of scrimmage in the run game, I think, against anybody.
Are you at all worried that the O-line is so lopsided, you know, so much better at run blocking than pass blocking? You know, the RPO stuff, a lot of times they're run blocking when we're throwing it. But you pointed it out, you know, in pass-only situations, like the two-minute offense, it seems like we get beat an awful lot, you know, between the tackles. Our guards, they don't seem to have a good feel for how to pass protect. How much does that worry you, Mike?
It does. But I just believe that this time of year, the game is going to be centered around running the football and play-action passing. And in those two categories, and that to me is primarily what they're going to do.
Right.
And in those two categories, they're really good. They're not asked to drop back, just straight drop back pass as much. And they're not as good at that as they are in the play action and run blocking.
When
the weather gets cold, when this time of year, teams are running the ball a little bit more.
No question. Mike Quick with us. Hey, Mike, we've already seen one adjustment from the coaching staff on special teams. Britton Covey, obviously not as much a factor on kick returns. Boston Scott back there. How much longer is Sirianni going to ride with the coverage units the way they are? I mean, your options. You can have starters start running down the field and try to make tackles the way Rodney McLeod used to. You can start deactivating some backups and bring guys from the practice squad. I mean, this is getting kind of ridiculous. You think Sirianni makes an adjustment soon?
I would say that they're in right now looking at ways that they can get this thing right. Tuesday is usually the players' day off, but the coaches are there, and they're going through their board today, I'm sure, trying to figure out how they can change up some personnel to try and get this thing looking better, because it's that element that everyone knows needs correcting, needs to get better, and they have to do something about it. They know that. They have to do something about it.
Mike, I'm going to ask you the same question I probably asked you before and might ask you for the next month, but as of right now, who concerns you the most, San Francisco, Dallas, or Minnesota?
That's a good one. Not San Francisco. It's either Dallas or Minnesota. Let's see. It's probably Dallas. Yeah.
They're a good team. They really are.
Mike, they are a very good football team.
They are.
Their defense can get it going, and their offense, they can certainly get it going as well.
Mike, congrats again on the Today Show feature. For those that missed it, Mike Merrill and Howard featured yesterday on the Today Show and the broadcast team here at WIP. It was really, 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 really cool to see. Mike, enjoy the rest of the week, man. Enjoy the game on Sunday. Obviously, we'll be talking to you next week. Thanks so much, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
All right, Mike Quick. 215-592-9494. We're back with all the calls, plus Jaws, normally with us on Wednesdays, with us today at 11:30. Phone calls next, though, on 94 WIP. Yes, listen, it's not going to be a winning answer, but it was a relatively entertaining song.
It's all right.
92?
I want to say 92, 93 range, yeah.
Something like that. But we can do better. I think we can.
Oh, we can do better.
We can do better. Cheddar Cameron, Jen Rich, speaking of doing better, I got to do better in fantasy football.
Uh-oh.
John.
Uh-oh.
It's 2 days later, and I don't know if I've recovered. James beat me in fantasy football with Austin Eckler scoring a touchdown. Was it literally the last play of the game?
Yeah, last play.
The last play of the game.
That does my heart good.
I was so aggravated.
So were you staying on top of it?
Oh, right? I got a text immediately from Joe.
Dude, I was so bleeped off, whatever that bleep
yes!
represents.
Good. That's good.
Oh, my God.
I feel better about my own abysmal team.
So John got eliminated. For those who don't know, John got eliminated from playoff contention this weekend. So, but, John, you've had
I'm glad that you know that.
You follow very closely.
He's all over
it. But, listen, you've had a good 5 or 6 year run. It's okay. You're allowed to have a down year. Now, unlike what you did with the 2020 Eagles and specifically Howie Roseman, I'm not going to say like you're the worst ever. I mean, you just had a bad year. It's okay. You know, you kind of took it a little far with Howie. What are you going to do? Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Jaws with us in about 15 minutes. Let's talk to Ken in South Jersey. Hi, Ken.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today, my friends?
Doing well, Ken.
Joe, I just have to say, your quirky perspective on the world just never ceases to amaze. It every day is a new adventure and the insight into Joe DiCamera's
mind. Is this the soothe me line?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm telling you, see, I have a very active brain. And my girlfriend, to her credit, Amy from
One
Villanova,
way to put
knows.
It.
Yeah, but she knows, like, if she can just settle my brain down a little bit, it's good. So that's.
So she has to rub your hand.
Sometimes, yeah. Just settle me down.
But I do settle you down like a child. It's like I got
to
settle my daughter down. Let me rub her back for a minute.
A minute?
I do have
longer than a minute, man. Go ahead.
I do have to thank you. I do have to thank you for The General versus the President. It's a really good book. Really interesting.
It is a good book. Yeah, on the Korean War and MacArthur and Truman. That is a real. Anyway, I'm glad you're enjoying it, man.
Good stuff. I want to get to what to me is the obvious answer for your overarching question here, Joe, on the hypercritical nature of Eagles fans right now. But, John, I first want to reference something you said earlier about the ease of the Eagles schedule and how that factored into our expectations. You know, the fact of the matter is there's only a handful of legitimately good teams in the NFL, so everybody's got an easy schedule. And unless you're playing one of those three or four other legitimately good teams, which you can't play every Sunday, you're generally playing somebody who's mediocre or bad. Statistically, if you look at the Eagles' schedule right now, considering the fact that they're in a division with all four teams with winning records, statistically, they have a harder schedule than the other teams that are in the weaker division.
Some of them, so, yeah. Yep. Now, to be fair, they've only faced, I think, two of those six games so far, right? They haven't played the Giants yet, right?
Three. So they've played the Cowboys once. They've played Washington twice. They haven't played the Giants anymore.
Right, yeah.
But it just speaks to the folly of trying to rate the difficulty of an NFL schedule before the season's even started, because every year it's the same thing where people, you know, teams emerge out of nowhere and other teams underachieve.
Yep.
So,
yep.
But
some of that.
But still, when you look at our schedule and you see a team like the Titans this week, that feels different than
it does
facing, you know, the Detroit Lions.
But to be fair, Green Bay, the Rams, the Bucks, I mean, some teams that come into the season, you'd be like, oh my God, that's a tough one. I mean, those teams are all below 500. And a couple
Rams
of them.
Rams are
like,
one of the worst teams in football, man.
The Rams have a chance at the number one pick in the draft.
They're horrible. I think other than Houston, they might be the worst team in football.
Especially
right
with Stafford maybe out
without
for the
Stafford,
year.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
The Rams started a guy at quarterback this week, and I don't want to get off on a tangent, but the Rams started a guy at quarterback this week who I guarantee you had extended family members, cousins, uncles, who didn't know he was in the NFL until he played them.
All right, Ken, give me an answer here. A title with a body of water in it.
I got to get to your answer, though, on the overarching question, Joe.
Sure.
And it's really simple. It's endemic of Philadelphia fans that we're already preparing ourselves for what's going to be the cause of our inevitable disappointment, even while we're 10-1. And it's only Philadelphia. It's the only place it happens, but
Is
the absolute answer of why it is.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting one. Give me what do you got an answer? Body of water. What do you got?
Bruce Springsteen, The River.
The river. You got. Hey, by the way, Ken, you like that history book? I got a new one for you. Read Dead Wake. It's on the Lusitania.
Oh, I read it. Eric Larson.
Yeah, tremendous. Great. All right, Ken, stay well, buddy. Appreciate the phone call.
Little book talk there.
Little book talk, man. I tell you, man, that Lusitania, man. See, here's the problem, John.
That was the ship, right?
That's the ship. Yeah. This is World War I, and here is the thing, John. There was some code breaking, but they didn't want to let the Germans know the code had been broken.
Smart.
I'm talking about the British, by the way. So what do you do when your boat can be under attack, but you don't necessarily want them to know that you've broken the code? Do you tip the boat off? Do you not tip the boat off? I mean, these are tough war issues we're talking about here. Let's go to Kevin right now. Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about the Sixers, and I got a great trivia question for you. When you were praising the Sixers, I was agreeing with everything, but there was one name that was conspicuously absent from your praise, and that's Doc Rivers.
Yep.
What kind of, do you think he's doing a good job this year or not?
I think he is doing a good job in the last 2 weeks. I think he did a poor job preparing the team for the start of the regular season. So to answer your question, I would say I would put him to this point this season at slightly below average.
Oh, that's terrible. Come on. They've been winning for 3 weeks with nobody on the court.
I know. I told you. He's done good for 2 weeks. But, Kevin, did you feel they came charging out of training camp ready to go?
No, but it was all new team. They had a bunch of new starters, man.
Well, they had some new starters, and I guess they had one, right? They had P.J. Tucker. They had one new starter.
Yeah, and a bunch of new backups. I think they're a better team this year, and I've always liked Rivers. But let me ask you this trivia question.
Sure.
Name me the only person to both play for the Eagles and co-star in a John Wayne movie.
You know, the only one I can think of, because I know he was in MASH, so I'll take a shot and say Timmy Brown.
Wrong.
Oh, who is it?
Roman Gabriel.
Wow. How about that? All right, Kevin.
The movie was The Undefeated.
Okay. That's a good trivia question right there.
Good job stumping the hammer.
Hey, listen, it's very rare, Kevin.
That was a strange call. I mean, that was one of the first times we've had someone call and say, I've always liked Doc Rivers.
Yeah, Kevin, he's right here, so you can talk directly to him. I mean, Kevin, John is perplexed there.
I'm still here.
John talked about it in the past tense.
I feel that like
was,
gone,
that
yeah.
was a strange call. Well,
you're
the call
on
is
an
ongoing.
Island here, Kevin.
What?
You're on an island. I don't think a lot of people give Doc much credit.
You know, he's one
Why
of the most respected coaches
so
in the NBA.
It does appear that way.
And he's got a ring, and if he gets fired by the Sixers, he'll have a job next year. You agree with that?
Oh, yeah. But it doesn't mean he's the right guy to go try to win the title with. Plus, Kevin, to me, listen.
I didn't want him to be the coach this year.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't argue with the fact that they are playing motivated basketball right
now. They are.
I don't have faith that it'll stay consistent.
All right, Kevin, give me a great answer, man. A body of water and a title somewhere. What do you got?
One of the greatest riffs in rock and roll history, Smoke on the Water.
You
Deep
got
Purple.
It, pal. Kevin, appreciate it.
So does that count? Water is okay?
Sure.
No, I don't know about that.
No.
No, I don't
asking.
Think so.
I don't
no.
think it is, right?
No. It's not a...
That's just water.
It's not a specific body of water.
It is an unspecific...
It's not a type of body of water. It's not a type... It's
no.
not. It's yeah. not. It's
it
not.
Doesn't count.
Come on, you got to be a river.
No,
you
got to
be a river, a pond. Come on. An yeah. ocean, a sea, a creek.
An isthmus.
A bay.
So, by the way, let me just say,
isthmus.
John, you're
it's a weird word.
I don't know that the breaking news sounder needs to be hit, and it probably doesn't. But I do believe in the now 6 year and 1 month history of this show, it is the first time ever that John has referred to an active call in the past tense. Like, that was a strange call. John, the guy was still in the air.
Well, what he said was strange.
Okay. Yes, it was a little bit of an odd. See, my thing with Doc Rivers, and I've been very clear about this for, I guess, about a year and a half. I've never gotten past the fact that he never apologized for his wagging the finger, chastising Philadelphia sports fans.
You plan to hold that against
him
forever.
I do. Because he never, but by the way, because he didn't apologize.
There's so much that you can hold against him, you know, more than that. This
I don't think
team,
his coaching's horrendous. I don't think he's a horrendous
but
coach
I don't,
the way.
I don't think we're cutting edge.
I agree.
I feel like it's sort of middle of the pack, and he gets a lot of credit for the success of the past.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that weren't there, if his past success were non-existent.
I agree.
What kind of coach would he be? What would we think of Doc Rivers?
He'd be a fired coach.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
He would not be around. He would not be our coach this season if he didn't have that ring.
I think that's correct. Let's talk to Dan in Philadelphia. Hi, Dan.
What's up, boys? How are you today?
Doing great, Dan.
I got to ask a serious question.
Uh-oh.
This is an uh-oh.
It is an uh-oh because I'm guilty. But for the past 2 weeks, maybe three, is there something seriously mentally wrong with Philadelphia Eagles fans?
So,
like, and I'm part of it, and I'm not excluding myself from this. We are 10-1.
Yeah,
our defense is. It's not the type of defense that we like to watch, but it's getting the job done. We have a pretty prolific offense, and we're complaining about special teams. Is there any other city in the NFL that would be doing this, or would it be constant excitement? I mean, this is, like, crazy to me. And, again, I'm part of the problem. Like, yeah, I just don't understand it.
It is shrewd. It is sharp. We are looking ahead to, you know, certain things that could lead to our downfall. We know that there are other teams in the NFC who, once upon a time, we didn't really consider to be a threat, and now they're playing better. And we're wondering, wow, is this too good to be true? We just saw that loss against the Commanders team that's not very good. If we can lose to them because we have shortcomings, especially, you know, stopping returns and stopping the run, then teams can take advantage of that. That's true. That is true.
So let me finish this statement before you attack me or question. Why can't we be like Cowboy fans and just think we're going to win every single year, no matter what the circumstances are? Like, half of our team could be arrested.
Well, I think because we're smarter.
Well, also,
and we're not blind.
But I'll also keep it a little bit real. Also, Dan, because we've only seen the Eagles win the Super Bowl once. I mean, Cowboys fans, even though it's a quarter century ago, they've seen the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, what is it, five times or six times, something like
half
that?
Half of their fans that they have now have never seen the Cowboys win a Super Bowl.
I know.
All right, Dan, I could brag about all our NFL championships, too, but, you know, it's ancient history. But
give me a big answer. Body of water and a title.
How about for the Philadelphia Eagles fans that anybody else looks at, it's Cry Me a River.
Wow.
Nice one.
That's pretty good, man.
Well, JT.
That's a pretty good answer. It's a pretty good song, too. And it's apropos for what we're talking about today, where a lot of people are unusually critical of the Eagles despite the 10-1 record. All right, let's talk to our next guest. We usually talk to him Wednesdays, but this week on Tuesday morning, and always a pleasure to talk to our guy, Mr. Ron Jaworski. How you doing, Joss?
I'm doing great, Joe. Thanks for being flexible. Tomorrow is the Army-Navy luncheon, so I'm one of the speakers at the Army-Navy luncheon, getting prepared for the Army-Navy game next Saturday. So always fun to have one of the great events in the world in Philadelphia, the Army-Navy game.
Well,
very special, so I'm looking. So thanks for being accommodating for me.
Joss, let's start there, and then we'll get to the birds. But I'm fascinated. When you have that speech tomorrow, is that in front of the student-athletes or even more than the student-athletes, those that attend Army and those that attend Navy? And if so, what's your message when you got that level of bravery in front of you?
Well, I've actually, through the years, spoken at the gala on Friday night before the game where there are thousands of people, and the room is split in half between Army supporters and Navy supporters, and right down the middle is an aisle, and I sit there with all these commanders and generals, and it's pretty intimidating, Joe. You know, when we talk about football and competitive and a game of war, no, this is the real thing. These are incredible, incredible young men. The administrators are incredible people. They do a great job for this country. To me, it's a tremendous honor just to get to say a few words to those people. And tomorrow basically is the coaches will be there, and we speak to the coaches and the media and the people of Philadelphia Sports Congress, Larry Needle, and the great team that he has of supporting the Army-Navy game. And it's always special when it's in Philadelphia. Now, it moves around a little bit because now it's such a popular event, not only locally, nationally, but worldwide, that other cities are now bidding for the game. So we're not getting it as often as we would like, but it'll be here next Saturday, and we're very excited about that opportunity.
Love it. Love it. Ron Jaworski with us. Joss, I also love that offensive line. You know, I'm watching your postgame with Michael B and the crew on NBC Sports Philly, and I could just tell you were blown away by the level of dominance of the Eagles' run blocking. I mean, historic what they did on Sunday night.
Historic is a great word, Joe. And I got to tell you, you know, obviously watching the game, sitting in the studio, I could not wait to come on the air because you know how I love the big eaters, man. Those are the guys that they make it happen. Yeah, we could talk about the glamour positions, the quarterback, the wide receivers, and guys making interceptions in the second. But you win or lose games in the trenches. And the Eagles' offensive line, I mean, it was total domination. And I couldn't wait the next day to get in and look at the tape. And you know what? It was more than total domination. It was an ass-kicking. I was so proud of that Eagles offensive line, the way they came off the ball. I mean, they took the whole Green Bay Packer defensive line and throw the linebackers in there, too. And you get the two-yard line to run in plays. They're in the end zone. Their butts are in the end zone, driven backwards. It was an incredible performance by all those guys from Jeff Stoutland University. They got master's degrees last Monday night.
Joss, are you at all concerned, and this is me being the Debbie Downer here, are you at all concerned that it feels like we have to avoid standard pass protection because we're not as good at that part of the job description on the O-line?
Yeah, I would say the left side of the offensive line has been a little bit subpar in passing game and pass protection. From Kelce on out to the right, it's been fantastic. So I think as we move forward against teams that have those good edge rushers, though you may have to go to the chip techniques, line up a tight end next to Jordan. I'm not sure he's 100% healthy. I don't think he is. Yeah, because I've seen him. His run blocking's been great, but the pass sets have been a little bit to be, you know, be expected from those.
Yeah.
But when you take the full body work, they're doing tremendous. And I think when you get against those teams that have the good, pure pass rushers, Shane Steichen will compensate for maybe the inefficiency at time on the left side.
Is this Eagles team as dominant as the Super Bowl winning team in 2017?
Well, I'm not going to say that right now because that team, as you said, was a Super Bowl winning team. And at the end of the day, that's what you have to do. You could be a dominant football team and lose the Super Bowl or not get to the Super Bowl. So let's see how that plays out. But, I mean, the arrows are pointing up. I'm watching this offense. I'm going, how do you game plan? You know, and Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers, I have a lot of respect for. I've known him for a long, long time. And he tries to, you know, try to change things up. He's a heavy blitz guy. They came into the game Sunday night as a team that blitzed the second most in the NFL. They blitzed almost 50% of the time. They tried to get pressure on Jalen Hurts. But, man, did they make so many mistakes with their man coverage schemes. Their pass rush left lanes for Jalen to escape. And Joe and I have had a discussion through the years, John. I think the spy is a joke. Anyone that thinks they can take a linebacker and spy Randall Cunningham, Donovan McNabb, Michael Vick, and now Jalen Hurts, they're going to lose every time because they're too good of an athlete. You get those guys in space. You know, they had that number seven, their first-round pick a year ago. He looked foolish in space against Jalen Hurts. I thought Joe Barry made a bad decision by playing a spy coverage on Jalen Hurts. He absolutely made him look ridiculous.
Joel, speaking of, you know, you brought up Randall there, and you were there when, you know, it was Randall and you in the transition to Randall as the starter, and the evolution of running quarterbacks in the league. Did you ever think it would get to the point where, because high school football and college football for decades have been dominated often by running quarterbacks. I never thought it'd get to this level in pro football. Did you?
No, I'm with you. And I always, because of this theory, you know, when quarterbacks break the pocket, defenses are coached to knock him out, take him out of the game. You know, you've heard me on my show. They don't say, Joe, we've talked about this. Okay, when you get to the quarterback, wrap him up gently and lay him down on the ground so he doesn't get hurt. No, I've heard the Buddy Ryan speeches. I've heard the Marion Campbell speeches. I've heard the Ray Malavasi speeches. These defensive coordinators that are great for their time. You know what they said? Bend his face mask. Puncture his lung. Take him out. That's why I never thought the running quarterback would be in the NFL for long term. So far, it's been good this year, but we'll see how it all plays out.
Also, rule change, though, played a big part of that, Jaws. I mean, what you're describing simply isn't allowed anymore.
Well, if they're out of the pocket and they're running and they don't defend themselves by sliding, they can be taken out. You can go low. You can take them. In the pocket, they're well protected. You have a target from the neck to the belt. That's about it. They leave that pocket. They're a running back. That's when you can take them out. Buddy Ryan, and you know, we all have great Buddy stories.
Yep.
The quarterback threw an interception. He had three, maybe even four defensive linemen do one thing. Yeah. Go look for the quarterback and hunt him up. And that's why quarterbacks would run to the sideline against Buddy Ryan defense.
Yeah.
Because they knew that there were guys, John, and you knew this too.
Oh, yeah.
They were coming after the quarterback.
And that's also, Joe's part of why he'd have the defensive players lateraling the ball when they got it to buy extra time for someone to go.
I tried to go get the hit on the quarterback.
I remember.
It's valuable and probably even more valuable in today's NFL. And most teams only have one running quarterback. You look at, you know, who your backup quarterbacks are. You know, just take it Philadelphia. All of a sudden, what's going to happen? And I hate to play this one if because it's negative. You know, if Jalen gets hurt, you know, you got Gardner Minshew. He's a totally different quarterback. He's a prototypical pocket passer. So what's Shane Steichen going to do then with this offense? It's going to be totally different.
Yeah.
It'll be more of a prototypical NFL offense. So you lose it, you're running quarterback. Very few teams have two quarterbacks of that caliber.
Jaws, let's talk about the defensive side of the football. Against the Colts the week before, it looked like we had really made an improvement stopping the run. How much of a step back did our run defense take against the Packers?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a step back. As excited as I was last week, we spoke about the defensive line with Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh. I thought they were just mediocre in this game. They weren't poor. They weren't great. They did their job. But I'm actually surprised that Green Bay never got their running game going enough to stay with it, because they had some – I mean, Dillon, you can see that guy is a beast, man. He's a John Ritchie downhill. You know, he's that kind of guy. You get him going downhill, he's going to bowl people over. And that's what he was doing. So I think the Packers got away from their game a little bit. The interceptions hurt with Aaron Rodgers. But I did not think our defensive line played up to their capabilities like they did the week before.
Yeah, Dillon only had 8 carries against us, and Aaron Jones only had 12 carries. I felt like they could have hurt us had they stuck with it. But they only had 49 plays on the day, Jaws.
That was the difference, and they had to play from behind for most of that time as well. And it's difficult to stay with the game plan. They got, you know, they fall behind 13-0. Although they came back and took the lead, it did change what they had to do.
How likely is it our secondary can hold up now that we've got these injuries? It's Josiah Scott, Kayvon Wallace, Reed Blankenship in the mix. How difficult will it be to hold up with those guys out there?
Obviously, when you start going down the pecking order to backup players, they're not starters, so they're not as good. But, you know, I thought, you know, the way they played on Sunday night was pretty remarkable. I thought Blankenship really had a stellar game for a guy that came in with very little experience. And, you know, the interception of Aaron Rodgers, he played like a wily old veteran. He almost baited Aaron Rodgers. He went to deep middle. Mm-hmm. Then he saw the crosser coming, and he drove the crossing route and did a fantastic job with it. And he's very active in the running game. So, Gardner Johnson's not a guy that's going to stroke you in the running game, but Reed Blankenship is a guy that will hit you, and he will knock your block off in the running game. So there's probably a little bit of gain as far as tackling goes, but not in the coverage scheme. But, they probably won't be really tested this week, as we all know what the Tennessee Titans want to do. But the kid Treylon Burks, and, you know, people probably in the Philly market, we're well aware of A.J. Brown. But the reason the Tennessee Titans made that deal is because they thought they can get Treylon Burks and save some money. So really you're seeing A.J. Brown, and you're seeing the replacement for A.J. Brown in Tennessee, and this young man is coming on as a wide receiver, yeah. Treylon Burks. So he could create some problems in the secondary for the Eagles.
Well, him and then obviously Derrick Henry, Jaws. I mean, this dude is probably headed to the Hall of Fame, and he's headed to the Link Sunday. It's going to be quite a matchup.
You know, Joe, you know me well enough. If you get to games like this, you tell the defense, double chin strap game, baby. Strap it on twice, because this is not going to be pretty. This is going to be mano on a mano, and let's see who's the man. That's the kind of game you're going to get this week. It's going to be old school football. When Mike Vrabel's an old school guy, you know, comes from that Belichick tree. He played in this league. He's all about the physicality of the game. This is not going to be a game for the faint-hearted. You better double chin strap this one.
Jaws, awesome stuff. Looking forward to talking to you next week. And again, thank you and good luck with the Army Navy speech tomorrow. That's fantastic.
Right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you accommodating.
Thanks, Jaws. There he is, Ron Jaworski. Hey, coming up, very, very interesting piece of audio you got to hear about a player that I think we got to be real here. The Eagles should strongly consider trying to sign an available free agent. And I'm not making this up. Who that player is, what the piece of audio is, yeah, trust me, it's good stuff. You'll hear it next on 94 WIP. And let me tell you this, FanDuel Sportsbook, man, the way to go for to bet anything, including, of course, the opportunity right now around the halfway point of the football season to bet any of these football games, including the full slate of games up ahead this Sunday. Of course, right now, new customers, and I say it to you all the time, new customers get a no-sweat first bet of up to $1,000. That's right, $1,000 when you bet with FanDuel Sportsbook. And, of course, you can download the FanDuel Sportsbook app in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. That's up to $1,000 in free bets back. That's when you sign up using promo code HAMMER. Promo code HAMMER upon sign up, always for the best deal, whether it's the soccer variety of games up ahead or football. You can look to college football on Saturdays or any of the pro basketball, pro hockey. It's all there for you when you sign up and bet with FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 94 WIP. So sign up today. Use promo code HAMMER upon sign up for a no-sweat first bet of up to $1,000 to make every moment more this season with FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. You were my son. Cry Me a River was a good answer. John, you a JT fan? Old Timberlake action?
Not really. I think he's pretty talented.
He is talented.
Very talented.
He is.
Good actor, too. Like, solid enough.
Solid.
You know, for a singer.
He was in that movie with, what was that really? Most people said it was a bad movie. I kind of liked it a little bit with Amy Adams.
Oh, wait, I was thinking
they're in a pond together. It don't matter. I think it might have been a sports movie.
like a baseball? I don't know. I'm getting confused here. Jetta Cameron Jenner. I don't know. I think, like, was Clint Eastwood in the movie? I'm so all over the place on this one.
Oh, is it Trouble with the Curve? That was a Clint Eastwood baseball movie.
It might be Trouble with the Curve.
I didn't see it, but he might be in it.
But I don't know. Maybe that's not him. I don't know. I'm getting confused. All right. So, John, a lot of conversation today about why there's been such scrutiny is not the word, because there's always scrutiny on the Eagles, but negativity about the Eagles, despite a 10-1 record. You know, I estimated earlier, and you guys didn't push back on me, I think you would agree, that probably about 85% of our calls yesterday had some negative in nature in the calls. And we ourselves, I mean, we're talking about defense, we're talking about special teams, talking about, I mean, it's been odd for a 10-1 team. Now, we'll continue all those calls, but I want to introduce another topic to this Eagles discussion, John, because at this time of the year, obviously it is rare to be able to find a player available who really might be able to step in and help you, and maybe help you a lot. Now, 2 weeks ago, Eagles brought in two dudes, Joseph, and they brought in Sue. In week one, those guys made a nice difference. Week two, not as much. There is a player that is available,
I think,
and I want to set this up, John. There is a player that is available who I think now we got to realize maybe the Eagles should reach out to. And I want to play a piece of audio, because John Clark, on his Takeoff podcast prior to Sunday's game, talked to Malcolm Jenkins. Of course, the Eagles had a pretty loaded safety situation entering Sunday, right? They had two starting safeties that were healthy. He answers this question prior to the injury of C.J. Gardner-Johnson. But ask yourself, after that injury, and if you missed the news, he is now out what is called indefinitely, not necessarily season-ending, but out indefinitely. Should the Eagles pursue the available Malcolm Jenkins, who John, when he was asked by John Clark prior to Sunday's game about if you'd ever want to come back and play for the Eagles, still in shape and that sort of stuff. Again, this is prior to the injury of Gardner Johnson. Here's what Malcolm Jenkins said on this past weekend to John Clark.
I don't think y'all need me, to be honest. So I'll just be here in spirit. But, you know, you asked me that later in December, I don't know.
Well, in case something happens and they need you, I mean, CJ, you said, is playing out of position. Maybe you could get back into position. But it's just interesting. You see all these guys, 34, 35, yeah, you know, get in here in November and December and get that one
still
last
play.
Chance.
If that's what you're asking me, John, I can still play. I'm still in shape. I'm still working out. You know, it's not far-fetched. I'm still in it. But, you know, it is – I do enjoy my seat of watching as a fan. But I could definitely, you know, I could come in for a stretch.
John. I mean, wow. And that, again, I mean, now there's been a huge injury since then.
Yeah.
And he's saying he can still play.
At the position he played, like literally, yeah.
Right.
I have no idea how long it takes for a lacerated kidney to heal. So I don't want to jump the gun on this. I certainly need more information.
Aren't you calling Malcolm, though? Aren't you saying, you know, hey, someone get me Malcolm's number?
The Rams did it last year with Eric Weddle. Remember, he came back and was a big part of them winning the Super Bowl.
He played a ton.
Yes. Like, literally, and he was older, I think.
Guys, I think
mistaken.
It would be outrageous for the Eagles to not call Malcolm.
Totally.
You got to call him
now.
And say, yo, let's talk, I think
why not? What's the downside?
Here's why. Because he retired at the end of last season. Okay. And since then, he has not been planning to play football. You know, at the end of last year is different than Ndamukong Suh going through a training camp, Linval Joseph going through a training camp and being ready to play at the start of this September.
Well, neither was Eric Weddle last year.
Well, let me, John, let me
get it. But that, come on, that's so extenuating. Like,
I don't think it's as much as
Jenkins,
you think.
It sounds like he was entertaining the idea just in a talkative,
he
like,
might have
aha
been.
Fashion.
Maybe.
There's a reason he retired after 13 seasons. He said he felt like he'd done everything he needed to do. You know, he felt like it was complete. I think it's asking a lot to pull a guy back from that, especially when it's been almost an entire year since he really thought about playing football.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Look, only he knows how ready he is physically. He's an incredible player. He's an incredible leader, and we all appreciate that part of him. I don't think it's as slam a dunk as you seem to think.
Well, here's what I'll say. So
I think you're oversimplifying what it would take for him to be ready to play. Although it's crazy for me to be saying that because we just saw Sue and Joseph step right in and look like they didn't miss a step.
And he said he's in shape.
It's just been a longer stretch for him.
Couple things. First off, the Super Bowl is not played this Sunday. It's played in about 2 months. So you have time to ramp him up. That's number one. Number two, he said he's in shape.
So you're not talking about a guy who, upon retirement, you know, just completely let himself go. I mean, you start with that premise.
He might have had in his mind that theoretically I could come back. He, you know what I mean? Like, the, a lot of these guys do that.
I mean, John, he might have, that might have been yuck, you know, sort of happy talk, you know, in an interview. I get it. I totally get that. But that was not an athlete or a human that says, yo, dude, I'm retired. Like, I'm done. Like, I signed the papers. I had the press conference. I shut it down. I'm retired. Like, well, he did not shut down the premise of the question.
It seemed like at the end, too, he even brought it back around, you know, where he's like, you know, it was laugh. Oh, you guys don't need me. But like, John, I could still play.
Right.
Like, if I need to. It sounded like he was, at the end, got a little serious.
Let's play it one more time. Sure. I want to hear this audio one more time. I just want everyone to just, you know, dissect it your way with your ear, what you make of Malcolm's intent. Again, this is before Gardner Johnson is injured. And he's talking to John Clark.
I don't think y'all need me, to be honest. So I'll just be here in spirit. But, you know, you asked me that later in December. I don't know.
Well, in case something happens and they need you. I mean, CJ, you said it's playing out of position. Maybe you could get back into position. But it's just interesting. You see all these guys, 34, 35, you know, get in here in November, December and get that one last
play. If that's what you're asking me, John, I can still play. I'm still in shape. I'm still working out. You know, it's not far fetched. I'm still in it. But you know, it is. I do enjoy my seat of watching as a fan. But I could definitely, you know, I could come in for a stretch.
Make the phone call.
Look, I'm positive because Howie Roseman is going for it this season, and you must, because we talked about it a lot yesterday. That pay scale for Jalen Hurts is going way up.
Yep.
In a hurry after this season's over. This is your chance to go for it all.
Yeah.
And I'm positive he's already made this call.
In the last 2 days?
Sure.
Yeah.
Because of the injury. But again, I don't know what lacerated kidneys, what the healing time is on.
Doesn't sound good, though, right? I mean, a lacerated kidney.
It does.
And I'll add this in, because I think a lot of times when we have these conversations, we think in terms of who's going to step in and start. And then if Marcus Epps doesn't get injured and Gardner Johnson comes back, who starts? And that is part of the conversation. So, too, is just rounding out the room with, one, leadership. Two, guys, we've spent the last 2 days talking about special teams. I mean, who do you think's probably better to go tackle a player on a kickoff?
Well, you're not going to send
Kayvon Wallace
Jenkins
or Malcolm Jenkins.
You're not going to send
I don't know about
Jenkins
that, John.
They're covering a kickoff. Seriously?
Why not?
Because it's Malcolm Jenkins, and he's 35 years old, or 34 years old. Don't bring him in to cover kickoffs.
Look, I'm just telling you, I would present it to him and say, Malcolm, if you want to come back, we want to work you out and find out what you're looking like. And if you look good, dude, we're going to sign you real quick.
And
Doesn't mean we have to play
I'm
the
positive,
first game.
Joe,
we might play in the second or third game, but let's go. Let's go.
And you're going to say, oh, and by the way, we need you to cover kickoffs and punts. And he's going to say, I'll stay put.
He might.
It's just not. It's so unlikely.
Okay.
I agree. We need to address that. We need to fix the coverage. But Malcolm Jenkins is not going to be the one to fix the
coverage. All right. To the phones we go. What you make of the Malcolm thing, in addition to everything else we're talking about the Eagles today. Mike and Ben Salem right now. Hi, Mike.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey, Mike.
I just wanted to talk about the whole NFL thing that you kind of started the show with.
Yes.
I'm kind of with John Ritchie on this. Like, I think it's kind of like a down year. I don't think there's good teams out there, and I think the Eagles are a good team. I just don't think there's that one great team. I mean, you see those good teams taking the random losses. Like, I mean, if you look at a team like Baltimore, I mean, I can't figure that team out at all. I mean, I think they've blown four or five fourth quarter leads.
Yeah.
Like, they have a – they have a good, you know,
14.
A good team. Yeah, and it's just, like, yeah, really, you know, a big league that they blow. And it's just, I just think that's just the league right now. I could see, you know, a random, you know, one of those, this year being one of those random quarterbacks that wins the Super Bowl. You know, that, you know, you never saw in the beginning of the year and you know, just, you know, won't ever win or get back to the playoffs again, maybe. Just like
Mike
one of
White,
those type of years.
The Jets.
Yeah.
The Jets win it all.
Mike White.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's laughing, but, like, it's kind of one of those years where it's like,
maybe.
You know, like Taylor Heineke. You know, what Washington's defense just takes him to the Super Bowl, and, you know, Taylor Heineke all of a sudden gets to the Super Bowl. You know, I just feel like there's no great team out there, and, you know, all of these good teams bunched up, any one of them can win. It's going to be a really hard year to predict.
Listen, unless Mahomes wins the Super Bowl, we're almost definitely going to have a brand new Super Bowl quarterback. Like, I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know, like, it, you know, the Brady's probably not winning it. Russell Wilson's not winning it. You know, it's Stafford's not winning it. All right, Mike, give me a great answer. Body of water, specific body of water, or a type of body of water? In a
yeah,
title.
Well, Crimea River was stolen right before me, but I got Ocean's 11.
Ocean's 11's been said. Give me another one.
Oh, okay, I'm out.
All right, he's out. He's bows out. Yeah, fair enough. Like,
feel like we're talking ourselves out of, like, believing in this team to some degree. The rest of the NFL is not that down. There are great teams, but there's parity. This is sort of the norm. Like, I do think maybe we're overemphasizing the fact that it's been up and down and up and down. Yeah. We've been pretty consistently awesome.
No question.
Yet, we don't cover kicks well.
Right.
And we've got some shortcomings, I think mostly because we don't emphasize stopping the run. But I still feel so confident that this team is really good and that they can continue to evolve and improve. I think that the coaching staff has done a great job of proving that they'll, you know, out of a bye, they'll be running plays that start out the same and look different and throw all sorts of new looks at defenses. Like, let's not underestimate that part.
Yeah.
And let's not underestimate the part that Jalen Hurts is the future of the NFL. The future, man. And we've got him as our guy. That's pretty amazing.
I agree with all that you just said there, John. I really do. Coming up, Devin Caney. She joins us in studio for the next couple hours. Also up ahead, the Ravens and Lamar Jackson were just referenced. A crazy tweet from Lamar a couple days ago. It's ridiculous. We'll tell you what that was. Joe to Cameron, John Rich. And if you want to react to the Malcolm Jenkins things, please do. It's pretty juicy. He's available. They got a need. He says he's in shape. Would you make the call if you're Howie Roseman? Joe to Cameron, John. How do you not make the call? Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.